नमस्ते नाथ भगवन् शिवाय गुरुरूपिणे विद्यावतार संसिद्ध्यै स्वीकृतान्येक विग्रहानवाय नवरूपाय परमार्थैक्यरूपिणे सर्वज्ञानतमोभेद भानवेचिद्गणाय ते स्वतन्त्राय दयाक्लुप्ताय विग्रहाय शिवात्मने परतन्त्राय भक्तानां भव्यानां भव्यरूपिणे विवेकिनां विवेकाय विमर्शाय विमर्शिनां प्रकाशिनां प्रकाशाय ज्ञानिनां ज्ञानरूपिणे पुरस्तात्वा श्रियो पृष्ठे नमस्कुर्यारुप्रतः सदा मच्चित्तरूपेण विदेहि भवतासनमित्येवं पञ्चविंशतिश्लोके सुवीदयतमानसः प्रातः प्रबोधसमये जपासु दिवसं भवेद् शिवादिगुरुभ्यो नमः. ओके, इन् द लास्ट् टू लेक्चर्स् वी सा हौ दि विमर्शशक्ति इस् रेस्पान्सिबल् फार् आल् दि मेनिफेस्टेशन्स्. वैल् देर् आर् न्यूमरस् डैमेन्शन्स् आफ् मेनिफेस्टेशन्स्, वि आर् नौ लुकिङ्ग् इन् टु जस्ट् वन् आस्पेक्ट् आफ् इट्, जस्ट् दि गुण आस्पेक्ट्. And going into the details, when the initial spandana happened, that is when the ichcha to create begins. At that stage, it is all still within, nothing is created yet, but the ichcha to create has already started. So for creation to happen, the plan to create, the jnana to create, has to settle in, and then the action of creation, the kriya, should happen. So this ichcha, jnana and kriya are also still within. So at this still, but very active state, all these gunas and shaktis are still in the seed state. This main vimarsha shakti is called Adi Mahalakshmi, we saw. At the state of Adi Mahalakshmi, all the three gunas are present. The tamo aspect of the seed is Mahamaya. The sattva aspect of the seed is Mahavidya. We saw Adi Lakshmi handling the rajoguna aspect herself. We saw the descriptions of the Adi Lakshmi during the first week. Last week, we looked into the tattva aspects of the description of Mahamaya and Mahavidya. But the beauty here is these are still potential energies and not actual shaktis in action. They are at the causal state and so subtle, but we looked into their gross description, the sthula form also. That is the glory of our scriptures, because they cater to the needs of all type of sadhakas. Adi Lakshmi now asks these shaktis to get prepared for the creation and take it to the next level. So immediately upon hearing this from Adi Mahalakshmi, Mahamaya sprung out of her seed level and took the form of a complete tamasic guna shakti called Mahakali. From Mahavidya sprung out a complete sattva guna shakti called Mahasaraswati. From Adi Mahalakshmi sprung out a shakti called Mahalakshmi. So as you can see, a pure Rajoguna Shakti did not come out from the Vimarsha Bindu, and it was handled by Adi Mahalakshmi herself. Even Mahalakshmi that came out of Adi Mahalakshmi is Trigunatmika only and not just Rajoguna Shakti. Okay, so that is the beauty of this whole thing. And we will talk about why this happened, why this Rajoguna was not separated out, but Tamasic and Sattvic were separated out. We'll get into those details later. So, but what is this state? This state is a state of action. This is where the desire has happened, blueprint is complete, and the action is ready to begin. From a tattva perspective, you can loosely think this as something between the Sadashiva state and the Ishvara state. Remember, we don't have a direct one-to-one mapping with the 36 tattvas here. At the state of Ishvara, creation has happened, and there is a difference between the creator and the creation recognized as Idanda, that is, this is I. At the Sadashiva state, creation has not happened, but it is there within the creator, but distinctly recognizable as Ahanta, which is I am this. What we are discussing now is the in-between state between the Idanda and the Ahanta. These three devatas are the main goddesses of Devi Mahatmyam. Mahakali is Tamagunatmika, Mahalakshmi is Trigunatmika, Mahasaraswati is Sattugunatmika. They are not at the seed level, but at the energy level that can manifest. From Vedanta perspective, this is called the unmanifested avyattam. Before I jump into these devatas, I thought I can dwell into the concept of gunas further. We know sattva, rajas and tamo gunas as qualities. Why is this important? Vedanta and Tantra Sastra, for that matter, all Sanatana literatures agree on one thing, the prakriti. The nature has all these three gunas in equal proportions. We know tamas is inertia or inactions, rajas is the emotions and actions, and sattva is good or intelligence. we don't know much beyond that, isn't it? So we'll get into that detail. Why do we talk about these qualities when I'm talking about creation? How are they related to creations? We'll get into that detail. Sattvaguna represents the energy factors that are responsible for cognitive abilities. We should not assume that cognition is only there within humans. In fact, Devi Mahatmyam chapter 1, the Rishi Medhas would clearly state that Jnanamasti Samastasya Jantor Vishya Gochare, meaning every being in this whole universe has the cognitive ability. Jnanam Asti, it clearly states that. So how each being uses ability to make their living might be different. The potential use of it and its evolution dynamics may differ, but the basic cognitive knowledge is present in every being to live. Even the coronavirus has the knowledge to mutate. When it knows that its basic form has the potential to be destroyed, it has a basic survival knowledge to mutate itself to live. It is an invisible being, but still has those abilities, right? So again, just because you have cognitive ability, which is a product of sattvaguna, does not mean that the result of such an ability has to be good. In fact, at this level, there is nothing called good or bad. There is the ability, and then there is a potential, and then there is the use. How it is used and for what purposes and for whose benefit, all are different topics. Asuras, for example, still have to use their jnanam to destroy. So the sattva aspect is applied to perform an extreme rajokriya in that example. Okay, so sattva simply means the cognitive ability, the intelligence. How it is used is not described here. Okay, rajoguna represents the energy factors that are responsible for emotions. Emotions exist for all beings. We are all emotional animals too. Just because a sadhu claims that he has no anger does not mean that he has no rajoguna. In fact, compassion is also an emotion, which is there in almost all sadhus, isn't it? Why am I giving this example? Because we incorrectly think that rajoguna is bad. That's not true. Without rajoguna, there can be no life. Tamoguna represents the energy factors that are responsible for materials or matters. Almost all matters that exist is the result of tamoguna. Inertia is the key element here, as we are dealing with matter mostly. Are matters important? Is inertia important? Is sleep important? In fact, the entire body of ours regenerates during the sleep only. So we become totally energetic during sleep. So tamoguna is key and needed for all beings and cannot be discarded as bad. So we have a panchikarna concept in Vedanta, which talks about how the five bhutas are mixed and in what proportions to form this whole universe. If you're all interested in knowing about this concept, let me know and I'll discuss about it in some future session. For now, we'll stick to this guna concept. And just like panchikarna, guna is also mixed with some proportions and stuff like that. We'll talk about those things. Okay. The mixture of gunas are the key in this dimension that we are looking at. But for this section, we will be only looking at the tamo, rajo, and sattva aspect separately as the three prime goddesses of the Devi Mahatmyam, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, and Mahasaraswati. Let's first look at Mahakali. Her Dhyana Slokam. Kadgam chakra gadeshu chapa parigan chulam bushindim sira shankham sandadatim karaistri nayanam sarvanga bhushavrutam neelashmadyudimasya padadasakam seve mahakalikam yamastaustopide haro kamalajohantum madhum kaidapam. Okay, so the first two lines talks about the weapons she carries in her hands. So the weapons are khadgam, chakra, gada, ishu, chapa, parigan, shulam, bushindim, shiraha, shankam. So 10 weapons. So karaihi dadatim, meaning has in her hands. Trinayanam, she has three eyes. Sarvanga bhushavartam, having ornaments all over her body. Sarvanga bhushita. Neela smadyuti, vibrant radiance like a blue gem. Indra neela stone. Asyam, face. Padam, legs. Dasakam, 10. So she has 10 faces and 10 legs. And she also has 10 hands because we talked about 10 different weapons in it, 10 hands. Mahakalikam, say we worship that Mahakali. Why? to wake who worshipped her? Brahma worshipped Mahakali. Why? To wake up Vishnu from Yoga Nidra to kill Madhu and Kaitava. So those two lines, the last two lines are Purana related, story related. Let's ignore those things. This is the Jnana Sloka that we see in Devi Mahatmyam. Okay, as I said, let's ignore the story aspect of it and focus on the Stula description alone. The tattvas of the story, we will have to, it has to be a series, separate series like Dalitopakhyana series. If Guru Mandalam so wishes, we'll pick it up some other time in the future. For now, we are focusing only on the guna aspect of the manifestation of Vimarsha Shakti, and we'll stay on that topic alone. So this Mahakali, who is Tamogunatmika, has 10 faces, 10 hands, and 10 legs. 3 eyes on each face. So 30 eyes in total. Dark blue in color. And Sarvalankara Bhushita. We also see that she has 10 different weapons in her hands. That's all. That's the description of Mahakali. That is also another Dhyana Sloka for her. Yoga Nidra Hare Rukta Mahakali Tamoguna Madhukaidava Nashartam Yam Tushtavam Bujasanaha Dasavaktra Dasabuja Dasapadanjana Prabha Vishalaya Rajamana Trimchan Lochana Malaya Spurat Dramchana Dhamshrabha Bhima Rupa Vibhumipa Rupa Saubhagya Kanti Nam Sapratishta Mahashriyam Khadga Bana Gada Shula Khadga Shankha Chakra Bhushindibrit Parigam Karmukam Sirsham Nishchayo Drudiram Dadau Aishasa Vaishnavi Maya Mahakali Durateya Aradita Vashikuryat Puja Kartuscharacharam. So this is another Dhyana Slokam for Mahakali. It is also part of the Mahatmyam literature. The meaning is very similar. The weapons are also the same. While the order might have changed, the list is the same. As usual, you look into the weapons and how are they related to Mahakali. 10 hands represents Panchakarmendriyam and Panchanyanendriyam. 10 legs represents Panchabhutam and Panchatanmatra. You stand upon these things, right? So that is the basis of foundation of creation. 10 faces, the 7 Maya Tattvas, and then the 3 Antakaranas, the Ahankara, Buddhi, and Manas. Okay? So we have, the Prakriti is missing here because that layer is created by Adilakshmi and Mahamaya stands on top of it with the Tamoguna coating. So Prakriti is the base coat that Adi Lakshmi created. The Shiva Tattvas are not represented here because they are before creation. So we are at the stage of creation, hence they are not represented. Okay, so now we look into the weapons. Gada. Gada represents Dharmam. We have already talked about Gada in Adi Lakshmi's time. So it's the same concept. Gada represents Dharma. Shankha. Shankha represents the Shabda Brahman, consciousness, awareness, etc. Chakram represents the cyclic nature of the universe. At the creation level, the cyclic nature is established by the chakra. But at the samhara level, it is also represents also how to get out of that cyclic nature, cutting off the ahankara. So that is the, so all these weapons that I'm going to talk about from Mahakali angle, she is tamasic and her whole purpose is to create. That's the reason why she has come out of Mahamaya to create. And those weapons will be one angle. We will see how from the perception of creation. And at the same time, we'll also look into the from a different angle, from the aspect of Samharam also. So I'll have both these things. So Chakram, I talked about the creation, the cyclic level. So the cyclic nature of the universe. And from a samhara level, cutting off from the cyclic nature, which is the ahankaram here. Sword, we already talked about sword with the Mahamaya concept, the Vikshepa Shakti. The head, we already talked about, that is the Avarna Shakti. So then comes the bow and the arrow. Okay, let's go into a little detail in that bow and arrow. There are several explanations for bow and arrow. One is an astram and one is a sastram. We have talked about astram and sastram during the Lalitopakhyana series. One stays with you wherever you go, one leaves you. Okay, so astram, you have to, it has to go. Sastram keeps, stays with you. So in this stage also, the bow stays with you, the arrow leaves you. Okay, so this bow stays with you wherever you go, the arrow leaves you in one direction. The one that stays with you wherever you go is the akasham or spades. The one that leaves you and goes in only one direction is the time dimension, isn't it? So once we lose the time, you don't have control. Until you spend it, you can decide how to spend it. But once it is done, you cannot recall it or change it. So no time travel is possible, at least in the dimension that we are presently in, that we live in. Remember, these are given to our for our understanding only. The whole surah description is for us, the Pasujanas. You cannot argue that this is not true for Gandharvas, the Yakshas, and all those Kinnaras, because they can move beyond worlds, they can do time travel, etc. That's not our problem. Gandharvas may be having a different Dhyana Slokam or a different explanation of the bow and arrow. Stop worrying about them, because that is not our problem. So, and let's focus on what is needed for you. So bow represents the space and arrow, and the bow represents the space and the arrow represents the time. They are both like a jodi. Okay, so one is useless without the other, isn't it? Now we saw how Srishti is not possible without the time and space dimensions. You know that very well. We experience this in our normal Jagrat state. But from a Samhara perspective, we also have to know how to transcend this time and space dimension. You may question, how is that represented by this bow and arrow? Whether you question or not, I cannot simply state tattvam from one aspect and conveniently ignore the other aspect, isn't it? So whatever tattva we claim for a weapon should also satisfy the other angles too. So from a Samhara perspective, how do we use the bow and the arrow? You fix a target, you aim at it, then shoot and release the arrow, isn't it? So if you have seen the gurus teaching and Sishyas how to use the bow and arrow, it is very similar to the gun shooting range. You have a pointed target and then circles around, and then you see how close you get to that one point. The idea is to make you always aim the point and reach the point, correct? Are you understanding where I'm getting at? What is that point? That is the Bindu. That is the whole purpose of this whole Samharam, getting back to the Bindu state. Identifying the target is the first step, which is the Mumukshutvam, knowing your purpose. Then fixing the bow and arrow is attaining a guru, following instructions, getting equipped with the right tools and techniques. Then focus. This is the mind control. Ekagra Chintana. Absolutely no distraction. Pratyaharam. Releasing it as your... So releasing it with all these things complete is your Savikalpa Samadhi, and reaching the Bindu is the Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Okay? So both perceptions matching. Arrow, bow and arrow. Next one is the... So again, before that, from now on, whenever you see all these devatas with all these big weapons, your contemplation should be different. If you see a bow and arrow, at least you should realize that it constantly reminds you to be in the mumukshu state and not to deviate from the path. Parigam means iron rod, or sometimes it's also called the walaka, the iron walaka. Okay, so the pestle. What can this represent? It represents hard work. Even for creation, it doesn't happen as soon as you think of it. Even for the Vimarsha Shakti, imagine the various process and manifestation it has to go through to create this whole Jagat. It's not simple. Even at the Advaita state, even if you realize that this is all Mithya, it really does not exist, blah, blah, blah. Still, the process of making that Mithya appear real is also Srishti, isn't it? That's not easy. It is hard work. You keep on working on it without giving up. Similarly, in the Samhara Krama, Mumukshutvam is also not an easy task. It is not like passing a quarterly exam of an annual exam. It is not like, okay, I just finished Ganapati Krama now. I'm qualified to take the next one. I'm not in the 10th grade, or I just got the Diksha, so I'm a graduate. It's not like that at all. If that was the case, we should have stopped doing all our anushthanams once we moved up one layer. Our education systems have spoiled us by kindling those expectations. Even if you have been cooking for years, each time you go before the stove, you have to start from the scratch. You have to have some powders, etc. handy. You may have some powders or things handy based on your experience, but there is still no guarantee that the outcome will be the same every time you cook. It is the same concept. Every time you sit for a meditation or japa or dhyana, you have to keep on hitting the same thing with patience and consistency. That is needed for creation, and that is needed for salvation too. Consistency is the key. And of course, you have to hit the right ground. If you don't have any grain, and if you keep on hitting with that walakaya, nothing will come out of it. that pre-qualifier is your nature, your thirst, your guru, your path, your mantra, etc., etc. If that is all set right, whether you have one mantra or 1 lakh mantras, does not matter. Just one devata is enough, more than enough, in fact. If you simply hold tight to that one devata, that's all. That's all is needed. That devata has all the powers to take you to moksha. If you had listened to my mantra lectures, I have talked about doshas, siddhi, ari mantras, etc. I would have also told you for Sri Vidya mantras that we practice in our Gurumandalam, none of those mantras have any doshas. That is the beauty of our Upasana devatas in our paddhati. Every single devata has the potential to grant mukti. So it's up to you to hold on to just one, consistently work on it, hard like an iron rod, hit the Upasana engine constantly and consistently. Then just like the pestle, the volakai, the harder you hit, the bad things, all your sanchita karmas, vasanas would get out of it. And only good things will remain. And what is that? Which is nothing but Atmanubhuti. Okay, that is Parigam. Bhushindi. Bhushindi is like a missile, a firearm. That's the true meaning of Bhushindi. But the representation of that weapon in Shilpa Sastra varies from axe type or Ankusha type or Gada type. But the true meaning is a fire missile. That's an interesting weapon. Imagine this as a fireball that has the potential to reach great height. That is the fire missile, right? So that can reach farther destinations. We all know from a gross universe creation how the universes are formed from these giant nucleus fire pits and how new worlds are thrown out. So from a creation perspective, it makes sense. But from a samhara perspective, what does this represent? What could a fireball that has a potential to reach great heights that can grant us mukti? What could be that? What is that Agni Kunju? That is nothing but the Kundalini Shakti, which is the fireball which is sitting dormant within each of us. Sitting dormant is the Tamoguna, isn't it? So the Tamoguna Mahagali is responsible for that to be dormant. But the same dormant Shakti has the potential to reach the great heights like the missile, reach the Sahasraraya, and due to that Shiva Shakti Samarasyam, mukti can be attained. So that is Bhushundi. Shulam. We have seen this enough in Lalitopakhyanam, Triputi Tattvam, object, subject and action being one and the same. At the creation level, they are shown and perceived differently, but the Samhara level, the knowledge that they are one and the same is represented by connecting those three lines in a Trishulam. So you may see three limbs separately, but they're all connected together. So that is the Triputi Tattvam from a Samhara Kramam. So three eyes, Soma Surya Agni. So this is common for all devatas that has three eyes. Soma Surya represents the masculine and the feminine energy. The fire represents the base primordial need to live, and at the evolved level, this transforms to Mukshutvam. While the masculine and feminine energies don't change, the Agni is responsible for evolution. This is why the third eye metaphor is popular for the Agni. So Agnir Vayuscha Suryascha says Aruna Prashnam, claims Agni and Vayu combined make Surya. So Agni is the Bijam for Surya and Surya is the root for Chandra. So Agni Mandalam, Surya Mandalam, Chandra Mandalam that we do in our Puja Kramas depicts this proper evolution sequence. All the three are needed for our existence. Now, after understanding these concepts of this Mahakali Swarupa, is there even a tinge of frightening or fear represented here? She may look like a giant with 10 heads, 10 arms and 10 legs and these fearful weapons. But do you see how beautiful her true representation is? There is no trace of destruction. Why? Her reason for existing itself, creation only. Those who have always wondered why did Mahakali fight in the Devi Mahatmyam and why are we having this wonderful Aim Bijam which is created, which is creativity related to Mahakali? Do you have the answer now? There can be no other apt bijam for Mahakali, isn't it? So from now on, when you chant either the Chandi Mantram or when you are reciting the first Adhyayam of Devi Mahatmyam, you should think of how great this Tamoguna Shakti, this Devata is, and how she is responsible for all that has been created. And even though she created these mithyas, she is also compassionate to show us the path to come out of it. Also, if you now Google and see all the photos of Mahakali with 10 legs and 10 hands and 10 faces, you will realize that none of the photos really match what is given in the Dhyana Slokam. The only photo that is very, very close to the Dhyana Slokam of Mahakali is the one that was published by Trinyas in Mysore. I say close to because the Bhushundi is shown like a coronavirus gada and not like a fire missile. I understand that it is very difficult to represent it, but corona gada is not the right representation. Regardless, that photo is the best photo for of all to represent Mahakali. All the others, even Gita Press photos or whatever, they don't have this. Some has different weapons. So you will know now. Once if you start seeing, you will realize that those are really not Mahakalis. Okay. Now that we have seen Mahakali, let's look into the Sattva Guna Swarupuni Mahasaraswati. Her Dhyana Slokayas. Ghanta Shulahalani Sankha Musale Chakram Danusayakam Hastabjair Dadatim Ghananta Vilasachitam Sutulya Prabham Gauri Deha Samudbhavam Trijagatam Adhara Bhutam Maha Purva Matra Saraswati Manubhaje Shumbhadi Daityardini. Okay, she has 8 weapons. Ghanta, Shula, Hala, Shanka, Musala, Chakra, Danu, and Sayakam. Okay. Ghanta is bell, Shula is Trishulam, Hala is plow, Shanka is Shankam, conch, Musala is again Walaka, Chakra is Chakram, Danu is bow, Sayakam is arrow. Hastabjehi, in the lotus hands, that the theme carries. Gantam Surabham Ghanandevalasa Chitam Sutulya Prabham. So her radiance is like the moon shining in the autumn sky. That's the poet in that poetry there. The rest is the story. Okay, so how she came out of Gauri's body and then she came out to kill Shumbha and Nishumbha. So that's the and that Saraswati, let's all worship. So we'll ignore those story sessions for now. We'll stick to the Sattva Gunatmika Mahasaraswati gross description. Okay. We have to remember that Sattva Guna is cognitive abilities. The primary responsibility is knowledge, learning, and with that, the natural expectation is the evolution and then finally Mukti. Mukti cannot happen without Jnana. Jnana cannot happen when Ajnana is present. Ajnana cannot be removed as long as we are caught by the grips of Maya di Shatkam, Maya, Kala, Vidya, Raha, Kala, Niyadi. These are superseded on the 2 main tattvas, which are Purusha and Prakriti. So Maya di Shatkam along with Purusha and Prakriti is the key reason for our Ajnana. This combination of 8 is represented by the 8 hands. This is one theory. The whole point of Devi Mahatmyam is to kill Shumbha, Nishumbha. Who are those? Mamakaram and Ahankaram. Even if you renounce everything and become avaduta, you can assume the mamakaram is gone, but the ahankaram might not leave you for 1,000 years. Shastras equate this ahankaram as aham madam. It is the bodha, nasha. It gives you a kick. And they have classified 7 things that are responsible for this ahankaram. They are kulam, vittam, shrutam, rupam, shauryam, dhanam, and tapas. Okay, so kulam is family, vittam is money, shrutam is learning, rupam is physical appearance, shauram is physical strength or power, dhanam is charity, and tapas is penance. A famous scholar called Kshemendra lived in Kashmir around the 11th century. Some call him Kshemaraja also. And he has written numerous tantric books and kavyas too. He has written a book called Darpa Dalanam. Darpa means arrogance, ahankaram. Dalanam means destruction. How to destroy the arrogance. So he has written a beautiful book. They call it a kavyam too. In the introductory sloka, he says, Kulam vittam shrutam rupam shauryam danam tapastata pradanyena manushyanam saptatete madahetavaha. So that is the assistance for madam. Ahankarabhibhutanam Bhatanam iva dehinam hitaya darpa dalanam kriyate moha shantaye. So the 7 types of these ahankaram, so the things that leads to ahankaram plus the mamakaram. So before I go into that, so why are those 7? What are those 7? I talked about family. So just because you're born in some caste or some family from kulam, there you may get the inherent garvam. Okay, And then if you have money, that can give you inherent garvam. So if you have good education, so vidya garvam is possible. If you are having a beauty, if you're so handsome, that gives you a garvam also. Shauryam, if you have physical strength, if you're more powerful, that power, physical power and also power, can give you the garvam. Dhanam and tapas, this is another beautiful thing. So where they have included this. So by giving more charity, that also gives you to boost to your ego. So that garvam is also that I gave more charity than you. So you have seen people talk about those things too. So that charity can also give you garvam. Tapas, we have seen several rishis in Puranas, how the tapas itself gave them garvam and led to their destruction. So that destruction happens because of all these madams, different types of madams that leads to ahankaram. Okay, these seven things plus the mamakaram are the eight that should be fought against to remove the ajnana. So these eight are represented by the eight hands. This is also another theory. In the tattvas, we see sthula, sukshma, and karanadeham for jivatma, and it is important to transcend these to reach the tattvatita state. With the creation, the sthula and sukshma sarira are its respective anavamala and mayakamala should be addressed for the jiva to get to the state of shuddha tattva. The sthula and sukshma sariras are represented as follows. The sthula sariram or the gross body is also called the bhuta sariram. Why? It is made up of the panchabhutas only. The panchabhutas only get further represented as panchatanmatras, panchaprana, panchanyanendriya, panchakarmendriya, and even the panchadhatus. Rakta mamsa asti majja shukla. So the base is the panchabhuta only. The sukshma sariram is made of antakarana, which is manobuddhi ahankara. Okay, so these eight are called puryashtakam. These puryashtakam is what we have as faculties to perform all our actions and karmas. We fall because of these eight, we raise because of these eight only. So to indicate this, Mahasarasthi has eight hands. This is another theory. I can go on and on with multiple theories, but I guess you got the point now. Regardless of whatever theory appeals to you, the basic concept is she's here to help you get out of this creation. While Mahakali is in full form to engage in creation, Mahasaraswati's goal is to liberate. Sattvaguna as consciousness, Ajnana can only do that, isn't it? So with that understanding, let us look at into her weapons. We saw most of the weapons already when we looked at Mahakali. The Shula, Hala, Shankha, Chakram, Dhanu, Arrow, those six common weapons. The only two that are different in Mahasaraswati are the Ganta and Mushala. Why are there so much of common weapons? When we describe Mahakali, I describe about the Srishti and also the Samhara portions. The Samhara portions that are needed for removing the Ajnana were taken for Mahasaraswati representation also. Now you may question, if Mahakali can grant all that and represent both Srishti and Samhara, why do we have two Devatas? Remember, Adi Mahalakshmi is the one who is actually doing all this. So we don't even need any of these Devatas if we can relate just with Adi Mahalakshmi. So question, why have this Devata, instead of questioning why have this Devata and Devata, these things can come only for those who are unable to see the whole picture of creation. Mahakali is primarily there to create. So you're supposed to see the Srishti perspective only. I peel the onion further and explain to you the Samhara representation of those weapons as well to make you understand the beauty of representation of our iconography. God making is not an easy thing, you know. So since the doubt is cleared now, let us look into the weapons. Ganta always represents the invitation of the positive and conducive forces. Drive away the opposite energies. Satsangam is typically indicated. This is why in general practice, before the school begins, we ring the bell. Before any pujas, bell is rung. A way to inform everyone force or energies that a group is going to meet. And satsangam is going to happen. Positive vibrations are going to happen. Okay. So Bhajagovindam also says satsangatve, nitsangatvam, nitsangatve, nirmohatvam. Right. So that sloka is also there. So Ganta represents the positive vibration and to drive away the opposite or negative energies. I'm not using negatives. Let's just say the conducive forces. So that's basically what it is. We talked about Shula, which is Triputi. Hala is Ulaka. We already saw about it. Shankam, we saw it's a Sabda Brahmam. Musulam, which is the plow. We saw this when you address the Varahi Dhyana Slokam during Lalitopakhyanam. Plow is typically used to dig the earth to make it conducive for farming. and form of seedlings. In our context, it digs the unresolved karmas from the Sanchita Karma ground, which is the cause for this whole samsara cycle. The key point here is, while new karmas are brought to the forefront, the plowing of the field also represents the plowing without any expectation. You simply perform your duties, leaving the rest to her. This way, the karmas will not have any impact on the jiva and quickly get resolved. Chakram, how to cut through the cyclic nature of this samsara chakram. Dhanu and arrow, the sayakam, time and space dimension. We already saw this in detail in Mahakali section. Now, how this is, how these things act in a samhara aspect. There is another dhyana slokam for Mahasaraswati. Gauri deha samudbhuta ya sattvaika gunashraya sakshat saraswati prokta shumbha surani barhini dadau chashta buja bana mosale shula chakrabhutu shankha gantam langalam cha karmukam vasudadipa esha sampujita bhaktya sarvajnyatum prayachati nishumbha matani devi shumbha surani barhini. So those who worship her in this form, they reach sarvajnyatvam. Okay, so that's basically you reach jnana. All these jnana slokam also match, the weapons are matching, and the descriptions of the other jnana sloka is the same as we saw. Hopefully now you all would have got a better understanding of the Mahasaraswati now. As you can see, her focus is sattva gunatmika, is to make you liberate, extol in her breath, the anandam. That anandam which is not just temporary, but nityanandam. This nityanandam is nothing but Brahmanandam, Paramasukadam, and she is Kevalam Jnanamurtim. She wants us to reach the Lakshya of Tattvamasi, meaning Tath state, the Sachidanandam, the only one Brahman who is constant, Nityam, just pure state without any blemishes, which remains as Sakshi for everything that happens. That state, which is apart from the Gunas, that Sachidananda state, that Anandam, represented by Kha, which is Brahman, La, which is the Prithvi, and Eem, which is Kamakala. The Jivatman realizing the Brahman state remaining in the Kamakala Anandam, that clean bijam. How apt. How else can her greatness be represented? It has to be clean. It's already well past 30 minutes, and I don't want to rush describing Ashtadasa Puja Mahalakshmi. So we'll look into her and her greatness and the actual guna mixtures during the next session. With the grace of the great Guru Mandalam that we belong to, these are being revealed, and I thank wholeheartedly for using me as a tool in their mission. I only pray that my limitations don't become a hindrance for their mission, and I don't have any other option but to pray to them only to remove those limitations as well. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Namaskaram Guruji. Namaskaram Guruji.
Thank you.
Namaskaram Guruji.
Namaskaram Guruji.
Ashirvad.